transcendental place known as Shweta Dweep, or Vrindavan. Below Krishna Loka, in the spiritual sky, are the Vaikuntha planets. On each Vaikuntha planet, a four-handed Narayan expanded from the first quadruple expansion manifestation is present. The personality of Godhead, known as Sri Balaram in Krishna Loka, is the original Sankarshan, attracting deity. And from this Sankarshan expands another Sankarshan called Mahashankarshan, who resides in one of the Vaikuntha planets. By his internal potency, Mahashankarshan maintains the transcendental existence of all the planets in the spiritual sky, where all the living entities are eternally liberated souls. The influence of the material energy is conspicuous there by its absence. On those planets, the second quadruple manifestation is present. Outside of the Vaikuntha planets is the impersonal manifestation of Sri Krishna, which is known as Brahmalok. On the other side of the Brahmalok is the spiritual Karna Samudra, or causal ocean. The material energy exists on the other side of the causal ocean without touching it. In the causal ocean is Mahavishnu, the original Purusha expansion from Sankarshan. Mahavishnu places his glance over the material energy, and by reflection of his transcendental body, he amalgamates himself within the material elements. As the source of the material elements, the material energy is known as Pradhan, and as the source of the manifestations of the material energy, it is known as Maya. But material nature is inert in that she has no independent power to do anything. She is empowered to make the cosmic manifestation by the glance of Mahavishnu. Therefore, the material energy is not the original cause of the material manifestation. Rather, the transcendental glance of Mahavishnu over material nature produces that cosmic manifestation. Mahavishnu again enters every universe as the reservoir of all living entities. From Garbhadakshaya Vishnu expands Shiradakshaya Vishnu, the supersoul of every living entity. Garbhadakshaya Vishnu also has his own Vaikuntha planet in every universe, where he lives as the supersoul or supreme controller of the universe. Garbhadakshaya Vishnu reclines in the midst of the watery portion of the universe and generates the first living creature in the universe whose name is? The imaginary universal form is a partial manifestation of Garbhadakshaya Vishnu. On the Vaikuntha planet, in every universe is an ocean of milk, and within that ocean is an island called Shweta Dweep, where Lord Vishnu lives. Therefore, this chapter describes two Shweta Dweeps, one in the abode of Krishna and the other in the ocean of milk in every universe. The Shweta Dweep in the abode of Krishna is identical with Vrindavan Dham, which is the place where Krishna appears himself to display his loving pastimes. In the Shweta Dweep, within every universe, is a Shesha form of Godhead who serves Vishnu by assuming the form of his umbrella, slippers, couch, pillows, garments, residence, sacred thread, throne, and so on. Lord Baladev in Krishna Loka is Nityananda Prabhu. Therefore, Nityananda Prabhu is the original Sankarshana, and Mahashankarshana and his expansions as the Purushas in the universes are plenary expansions of Nityananda Prabhu. In this chapter, the author has described the history of his leaving home for a personal pilgrimage to Vrindavan and is achieving all success there. In this description, it is revealed that the author's original paternal home and birthplace were in the district of Katwa, in the village of Jamatapur, which is near Naihati. Krishnadas Kaviraj's brother, Krishnadas Kaviraj's brother, invited Sri Minikatana Ramdas, a great devotee of Lord Nityananda, to his home. But a priest named Gunarnava Mishra did not receive him well. And Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami's brother, not recognizing the glories of Lord Nityananda, also took sides with the priest. Therefore, Ramdas became sorry, broke his flute, and went away. This was a great disaster for the brother of Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami. But on that very night, Lord Nityananda Prabhu himself graced Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami in a dream and ordered him to leave on the next day for Vrindavan. Vande Nanta Bhutta Ishvaryam Sri Nityananda Ishvaram Yachchaya Tatswarupam Agninapi Nurupyate. Let me offer my respectful obeisances to Lord Nityananda, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, whose opulence is wonderful and unlimited. By his will, even a fool can understand his identity. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Advaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Brinda. All glories to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, all glories to Lord Nityananda, all glories to Advaita Acharya, and all glories to all the devotees of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Eshat shloki kahila Krishna Chaitanya Mahima, pancha shloki kahi Nityananda Tattvasimha. I have described the glory of Sri Krishna Chaitanya in 6 verses. Now in 5 verses, I shall describe the glory of Lord Nityananda. Savavatari Krishna Swayam Bhagavan Tanhara Dvitiya Dehi Shri Balaram. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, is the fountainhead of all incarnations. Lord Balaram is his second body. Purport. Lord Sri Krishna, the Absolute Personality of Godhead, is the primeval Lord, the original form of Godhead, and his first expansion is Sri Balaram. Who can prove this statement? Lord Sri Krishna, the Absolute Personality of God, is the primeval Lord, the original form of Godhead. You got to belt it out, though. I don't believe you. Let's hear. Do we have the other microphones?
There might be other verses, but this is the one that came to my mind when Suta Goswami was describing the different incarnations to the sages in Naimisharanya. He summarizes the descriptions by saying, Ete cha amshakala krishnastu bhagavan swayam indrari vyakulam lokam rudayanti yuga yuga.
And the meaning?
He says that, that all these incarnations that have been described so far are parts of Krishna or parts of the parcels of Krishna, and Krishna is the original fountainhead of all these incarnations, and he descends in the material world to subdue the enemies of Indra and to reestablish the religious principles.
So does everybody see it that way?
Not necessarily.
Huh? Does everyone see it that way, that Krishna is the fountainhead of all incarnations? No?
Krishna is Vishnu. Krishna himself is Mahavishnu.
Krishna is?
He's Mahavishnu.
Krishna is the source of Mahavishnu?
And he takes all the incarnations, 10 incarnations. Jayadeva believes that. There are songs to describe in this way.
Yeah.
Krishna is not an avatar of Vishnu, but Krishna is himself Vishnu. And takes that.
Correct. So, but some people feel that Krishna is an avatar of Vishnu, right? Is that incorrect?
Yes. There are two different beliefs. It can go along, no problem.
Do you agree? Correct or incorrect?
Incorrect.
Huh?
Incorrect.
They're both correct. They both are correct. It's just a different angle of seeing. But for the Gaudiya Vaishnavas, they've taken this, especially this verse, Ete Chamsa Kalapum Sa Krishna Stu Bhagavan Swayam Indradi Vyakulam Lokam Ridyantu Yigege. They understand Krishna according to his rasa and the way he relates with his devotees. And they've taken this verse and they've built, especially around this verse, the Siddhanta, Krishna's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But later on, we'll find Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami says, well, either way you want to say, you can say that Shri Dakshai Vishnu is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. All these are true, because it's true. It's all Krishna. He's in different moods and forms. But we know that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Personality of Godhead can expand himself in innumerable forms. The forms that have unlimited potencies are called shvamsas. And forms that have limited potencies, the living entities, are called vibhinangsha. Eka eswarupa donhe bhina matrakai adyakaha vyuha krishna lilar sahai. These two are one and the same identity. They differ only in form. Lord Balaram is the first bodily expansion of Krishna, and he assists in Lord Krishna's transcendental pastimes. Purport. Balaram is a shvamsa expansion of the Lord, and therefore there is no difference in potency between Krishna and Balaram. The only difference is their bodily structure. As the first expansion of Godhead, Balaram is the chief deity among the first quadruple forms, and he is the foremost assistant of Sri Krishna in his transcendental activities. Bodily form, what's the difference between, although they're the same shvamsa, same potency, what's the difference in their bodily form between Krishna and Balaram? Complexion? So, can you describe it?
Krishna's complexion is in the form of a freshly formed rain cloud, Shyama Sundar, and the complexion of Lord Balaram is similar to a white lotus.
Thank you. When Madhavendra Puri used to see a rain cloud, he would begin to dance in ecstasy. As everywhere he'd see a rain cloud, it would remind him of Krishna. What else?
Lord Balaram always thinks of himself as the supreme servitor and Krishna, of supreme servitor of Krishna. Even though he's the elder brother, but he always thinks of himself as the servitor of Krishna. So,
slightly different complexion. He's like a white lotus. Krishna is blackish like a rain cloud. And his
mood.
Is serving ego. He's the servant. He always feels himself the servant of the Lord. And Lord Nityananda?
Lord Nit is like Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami explains, he's the second body. So it's the same.
Jai. But he feels he's the servant of Lord Chaitanya.
Of Lord Chaitanya.
Jai. That original Lord Krishna appeared in Navadvip as Lord Chaitanya, and Balaram appeared with him as Lord Nityananda. Sankarsana karana to vashayi garbhodashayi cha payobdishayi sheshascha yasyam sakalasa nityanandakya rama sharanam mamastu. May Sri Nityananda Ram be the object of my constant remembrance. Sankarsana, Sheshanag, and the Vishnus who lie on the Karna ocean, Garbha ocean, and ocean of milk are his plenary portions and the portions of his plenary portions. Purport. Sri Sarup Damodar Goswami has recorded this verse in his diary to offer his respectful obeisances to Lord Nityananda Prabhu. This verse also appears as the 7th and the first 14 verses of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. Sri Balaram Gosai Mula Sankarshan Pancharupa Dhari Karina Krishna Rasyaban. Lord Balaram is the original Sankarsana. He assumes 5 other forms to serve Lord Krishna. Apane Karina Krishna Lilar Sahai Srishti Lila Karya Kari Dhari Charikai. He himself helps in the pastimes of Lord Krishna, and he does the work of creation in four other forms. Srishtyadi kaseva tanar agyar palan shesharupe kari krishnana bibira shevan. He executes the orders of Lord Krishna in the work of creation, and in the form of Lord Shesha, he serves Krishna in various ways. Purport. According to expert opinion, Balaram, as the chief of the original quadruple forms, is also the original Sankarsana. Balaram, the first expansion of Krishna, expands himself in five forms. Mahasankarsan, 2. Karnadapchayi, 3. Garbhodakshayi, 4. Kshiradakshayi, and 5. Shesha. These five plenary portions are responsible for both the spiritual and material cosmic manifestations. In these five forms, Lord Balaram assists Lord Krishna in his activities. The first four of these forms are responsible for the cosmic manifestations, whereas Shesha is responsible for personal service to the Lord. Shesha is called Ananta, or unlimited, because he assists the personality of Godhead in his unlimited expansions by performing an unlimited variety of services. Sri Balaram is the servitor Godhead who serves Lord Krishna in all affairs of existence and knowledge. Lord Nityananda Prabhu, who is the same servitor Godhead, Balaram, performs the same service to Lord Gauranga by constant association. Sarva Rupe Ashvadhe Krishna Shevananda Sri Balaram Gaura Shange Nityananda. In all the forms, he tastes the transcendental bliss of serving Krishna. That same Balaram is Lord Nityananda, the companion of Lord Gaurasundar. Saptama shlokera artha kari chari shloke jate nityananda tatto jani sarvaloke. I have explained the seventh verse in four subsequent verses. By these verses, all the world can know the truth about Lord Nityananda. Mayatiti vyapi vaikundaloke purnashvaye shi chaturvyuhamadye rupam yasyod bhati sankarshanakyam tam shri nityananda ramam prapadye. I surrender unto the lotus feet of Sri Nityananda Ram, who is known as Sankarsana, in the midst of the chaturvyuha, consisting of Vasudev, Sankarsan, Pradyumna, and Aniruddha. He possesses full opulences and resides in Vaikuntha Loka, far beyond the material creation. This is a verse from Sri Swarup Damodar Goswami's diary. It appears as the eighth of the first 14 verses of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. Prakritira para prabhyom name dhame prakritira para parabhyom name dham Krishna viraga jaiche vibhuta ari gunavan. Beyond the material nature lies the realm known as Paravyom, the spiritual sky. Like Lord Krishna himself, it possesses all transcendental attributes, such as the six opulences. Purport. According to Sankhya philosophy, the material cosmos is composed of 24 elements. The five gross material elements, the three subtle material elements, the five knowledge-acquiring senses, the five active senses, the five objects of sense pleasure, and the Mahat Tattva, the total material energy. Empiric philosophers, unable to go beyond these elements, speculate that anything beyond them must be avyakta, or inexplicable. But the world beyond the 24 elements is not inexplicable, for it is explained in the Bhagavad Gita as the eternal Sanatana nature. Beyond the manifested and unmanifested existence of material nature, vyakta-vyakta, is the Sanatana nature, which is called the Paravyoma, or the spiritual sky. Verse? Bhagavad Gita? Which chapter is it in? It says that there is a world, let's ask Puja. Beyond this material world, there's a spiritual world that's not manifested or unmanifest, never becomes unmanifested. Parastasmat bhavanyo Vyakta vyakta sanatana. Yasa sarvishu bhuteshu nasyatsu na vinashyati. It's not destroyed when the material world is destroyed. Parastasma tu bhavo nyo vyakto vyakta sanatana. What chapter?
8:28.
Okay, chapter 8. Can you read out the word for word?
You want the translation?
Word for word and then translation.
Okay.
Parastasmat bhavonyo vyakto vyaktat sanatanah yaksa sarveshu bhuteshu nasyatsu navinasyati. Paraha transcendental, tasmat to that, to but, bhavaha nature, anyaha another, avyaktaha unmanifest, avyaktat to the unmanifest, sanatanah eternal, yaha saha that which, sarveshu all, bhuteshu manifestation, nasyatsu being annihilated, na never, vinasyati is annihilated. Yet there is another unmanifest nature which is eternal and is transcendental to this manifested and unmanifested matter. It is supreme and is never annihilated. When all in this world is annihilated, that part remains as it is.
Thank you. Beyond the manifested and unmanifested existence of material nature, vyakta vyakta is the sanatana nature which is called the paravyoma, or the spiritual sky. Since that nature is spiritual in quality, there are no qualitative differences there. Everything there is spiritual, everything is good, and everything possesses the spiritual form of Sri Krishna himself. That spiritual sky is the manifested internal potency of Sri Krishna. It is distinct from the material sky manifested by his external potency. The all-pervading Brahman, composed of the impersonal glowing rays of Sri Krishna, exists in the spiritual world with the Vaikuntha planets. We can get some idea of that spiritual world by comparison to the material sky, for the rays of the sun in the material sky can be compared to the Brahmajyoti, the glowing rays of the personality of Godhead. In the Brahmajyoti, there are unlimited Vaikuntha planets, which are spiritual and therefore self-luminous, with a glow many times greater than that of the sun. The personality of Godhead Sri Krishna, his innumerable plenary portions, and the portions of his plenary portions dominate each Vaikuntha planet. In the highest region of the spiritual sky is the planet called Krishna Loka, which has three divisions. Gokula, Mathura, and Dwarka. And which one's perfect? Which one's more perfect? Which one's the most perfect? To a gross materialist, this kingdom of God, Vaikuntha, is certainly a mystery. But to an ignorant man, everything is a mystery for want of sufficient knowledge. The kingdom of God is not a myth. Even the material planets which float over our heads in the millions and billions are still a mystery to the ignorant. Material scientists are now attempting to penetrate this mystery. And a day may come when the people of this earth will be able to travel in outer space and see the variegatedness of these millions of planets with their own eyes. In every planet, there is as much material variegatedness as we find in our own planet. This planet Earth is but an insignificant spot in the cosmic structure. Yet foolish men, puffed up with false sense of scientific advancement, have concentrated their energy in the pursuit of so-called economic development on this planet, not knowing of the variegated economic facilities available on other planets. According to modern astronomy, the gravity of the moon is different from that of the Earth. Therefore, one who goes to the moon will be able to pick up large weights and jump vast distances. In the Ramayana, Hanuman is described as being able to lift huge weights as heavy as hills and jump over the ocean. Modern astronomy has confirmed that this is indeed possible. The disease of the modern civilized man is his disbelief of everything in the revealed scriptures. Faithless non-believers cannot make progress in spiritual realization, for they cannot understand the spiritual potency. The small fruit of a banyan contains hundreds of seeds, and in each seed is the potency to produce another banyan tree with the potency to produce millions more of such fruits. This law of nature is visible before us, although how it works is beyond our understanding. This is but an insignificant example of the potency of Godhead. There are many similar phenomena that no scientist can explain. Everything, in fact, is inconceivable. For the truth is revealed only to the proper persons. Although there are varieties of personalities, from Brahma down to the insignificant ant, all of whom are living beings, their development of knowledge is different. Therefore, we have to gather knowledge from the right source. Indeed, in reality, we can get knowledge only from the Vedic sources. The four Vedas, with their supplementary Puranas, the Mahabharata, the Ramayana, and their corollaries, which are known as Smritis, are all authorized sources of knowledge. If we are at all to gather knowledge, we must gather it from these sources without hesitation. Revealed knowledge may in the beginning be unbelievable because of our paradoxical desire to verify everything with our tiny brains, but the speculative means of attaining knowledge is always imperfect. The perfect knowledge propounded in the revealed scriptures is confirmed by the great acharyas, who have left ample commentaries upon them. None of these acharyas has disbelieved in the Shastra. One who disbelieves in the Shastra is an atheist, and we should not consult an atheist, however great he may be. A staunch believer in the Shastras, with all their diversities, is the right person from whom to gather real knowledge. Such knowledge may seem inconceivable in the beginning, but when put forward by the proper authority, its meaning is revealed, and then one no longer has any doubts about it. Anybody want to comment on that? I could comment on it. Can I have a Bhagavad Gita? There's a wonderful verse in the 13th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, Shutvanebhya Upasate. So we're talking about how the spiritual world, Lord Balaram, Lord Nityananda, they're beyond our senses. We can't conceive with our mundane senses. It's like looking through the knot hole in a fence and trying to see on the other side, and then from there making some kind of a judgment about the way of the world. It's through a little peephole, something like that. Senses are so limited. But by hearing from the Shastra, this is what Jiva Goswami begins in the Tattva Sandarbha, explaining that the senses are imperfect, and therefore we need superior knowledge. We have to hear from a transcendent source, apurusheya, which means it's not created in this realm of human beings, but it comes down from the spiritual world. And by hearing that, but not just hearing it in a normal way, like the challenging, the scientific way, but hearing it submissively, then one can actually come to understand. And how is that, that one can come to understand? This is brought up in the prayers personified Vedas, because the question is raised that how is it that if we're using our material mind and our material senses that we can understand something that's beyond them? It doesn't make sense, does it? If we're using a material mind, material senses, and its sound vibration that's in the material world, how is it going to describe something which is transcendental? What's the answer? Yes. You need something special to understand. Absolutely. And the fact is that this question is in relation to whether the Supreme Absolute Truth is personal or impersonal. if the infinite wants to reveal himself to the finite, that's his prerogative, isn't it? He can do that. So the answer that's given by the prayers personified Vedas is that all energies are coming from the Supreme Personality of Godhead originally anyway. And if they're used correctly, then what is the difficulty for him revealing himself through that medium? He can do that because he's the Supreme and he can reveal himself. So this is the nature of transcendental sound, and it was being described here. I'll read this again. A staunch believer in the Shastras with all of their diversities is the right person from whom to gather real knowledge. Such knowledge may seem inconceivable in the beginning, but when put forward by the proper authority, its meaning is revealed, and then one no longer has any doubts about it. So, here's a verse from the 13th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. 26? Yep. Text 26. Anye tvainam majananta shutvaribhya upasate tepi chatintrandyeva mrityum shuti parayana. Anye tvainam majananta shutvaribhya upasate tepi chatintrandyeva mrityum shuti parayana. Anye, others. Two, but evam, thus, ajanata, without spiritual knowledge. Shutva, by hearing, anebhya, from others, upasate, begin to worship, te, they, api, also, cha, and, atitaranti. You know what that word means? To transcend. Where else did you hear that word? Yes? Yeah. Mamchayo vyabhicharena bhakti yogina sevate sagunan samatityaitan brahmapuyaya kalpate. Atitaranti means to rise above something. So it's used in a lot of places because in this atitaranti, it means to rise above, to transcend. Eva, certainly, mrityum, the path of death, shuti parayana, inclined to the process of hearing. Translation. Again, there are those who, although not conversant in spiritual knowledge, begin to worship the Supreme Person upon hearing about him from others. Because of their tendency to hear from authorities, they also transcend the path of birth and death. Want to hear the purport? Yeah. This verse is particularly applicable to modern society because in modern society there's practically no education in spiritual matters. Some of the people may appear to be atheistic or agnostic or philosophical, but actually there is no knowledge of philosophy. As for the common man, if he is a good soul, then there is a chance for advancement by hearing. This hearing process is very important. Lord Chaitanya, who preached Krishna consciousness in the modern world, gave great stress to hearing, because if the common man simply hears from the authoritative sources, he can progress, especially according to Lord Chaitanya, if he hears the transcendental vibration, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. It is stated, therefore, that all men should take advantage of hearing from realized souls and gradually become able to understand everything. The worship of the Supreme Lord will then undoubtedly take place. Lord Chaitanya has said that in this age, no one needs to change his position, but one should give up the endeavor to understand the absolute truth by speculative reasoning. Stanistita, shutigatam tanuvan manobir. One should learn to become the servant of those who are in knowledge of the Supreme Lord. If one is fortunate enough to take shelter of a pure devotee, hear from him about self-realization, and follow in his footsteps, one will be gradually elevated to the position of a pure devotee. In this verse particularly, the process of hearing is strongly recommended, and this is very appropriate. Although the common man is often not as capable as so-called philosophers, faithful hearing from an authoritative person will help one transcend this material existence and go back home, back to Godhead. It's so easy because all we have to do is follow Anu. And this is expressed in the Bhagavatam. Bejare muniyotagre bhagavan tamatoksajam satvam vishuram shemaya kalpante yunataniha. That previously all the great sages worshipped the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Why did they worship Vishnu, according to the Bhagavatam, and not somebody else? Why didn't they worship Shiva or Brahma? Although they show great respect to Shiva and Brahma, they worship Lord Vishnu. And why did they worship Lord Vishnu, according to the Bhagavatam? Akurnath came just in time.
Get the ultimate benefit from worshiping the pure form of goodness.
Sattvam rajas tamai iti prakritir gunas ta yukta para purusha eka ihasya date stityare harivarinchi hariti samja shayamsi tatra kalu safatano nirnam suhu, which says that there's Vishnu, who is the eka purusha, param purusha. He's the supreme purusha. He's beyond the modes of material nature. Whereas Brahma and Shiva Varinchi, they have some contact with the material nature. So therefore, Bejare Muniyota Agre Ta Agre, previously, all the great sages worshipped Vishnu. Why? Because he's beyond the modes of material nature. He's completely pure. And therefore, they derived the highest benefit. Those who follow those great sages, and the implication is that even if you're not a great sage, as Kunti says, tata paramahamsanam muninam amalatmanam pakti yoga vidhanartam katam pashyema histri aha. She said, who am I? I'm trying on this path, but it's meant for the paramahamsas, the paramahamsa marg, which means those who are, they have no more connection with the material world. They can live in the material world, but they don't touch it. What's the example given of a paramahamsa? A swan. And what can a swan do?
Milk and water.
It can drink the milk right out of the water. If you mix milk and water in a little bowl and you give it to a swan, it can take out the milk and leave the water. Do you know how? Do you? I just found out recently. Because he has an enzyme in his beak. And when he drinks the milk and water together, it curdles the milk and he's able to swallow it. And it leaves the water. That was from the head botanist of the University of Michigan. Because I always wondered, is that true that a swan can drink milk out of one? And it is. And it confirms what we were reading here about the Shastra. You should believe it. It says right here. We hear all these things and you go, really? A staunch believer in the Shastras, with all their diversities, is the right person from whom to gather real knowledge. Such knowledge may seem inconceivable in the beginning, but when put forward by the proper authority, its meaning is revealed, and then no longer has any doubts about it. So, what's another example of something that seems contradictory in the Shastra that you should just accept because it's true? Or that if you do accept it, you'll be right, because if you research it, then you'll find out it's true. An example given in the Isha Upanishad. A conch shell. It says in the Vedic literature that the bone of an animal is impure. If you touch bone somewhere, you have to go take a bath, right? But what do we keep on the altar? A conch shell. It's the bone of an animal. But it's pure. What else? Cow dung. So someone say, well, that's, if you touch stool, you have to go take bath, according to the Vedic literature. But cow dung is antiseptic. It's pure. And you can test it and find out. It's true. So there are many inconceivable things that we might hear from the Shastra, but if one is a staunch believer in the Shastra and hears from someone who's a staunch believer in the Shastra, he can gather real knowledge. That things may seem inconceivable in the beginning. So this is the process for understanding Nityananda Prabhu. It's not possible by some speculative method or just by study, but it's actually through submissive hearing. And where are we getting this information? Already a couple times we've heard verses, Maya Titi Vai Vyapi Vai Kunta Loke Punashvarishi Chaturvyuhamadye Rupam Tasya Bhati Sankarshanat Yakyam. These verses were entered into the diary by Sarup Damodar. he's the proper person to hear from, and he's written about who is Nityananda. So if we hear from him submissively, then we can understand. So this verse I quoted from the Bhagavad Gita, Anye Tvainam Ajanata Shutvanibhya Upasate. Shutvanibhya means if somebody has the tendency to hear from others submissively, then if they hear from the right person, then they'll pick this up very easily, be able to understand through the power of hearing this transcendental sound vibration. It's the most recommended process for self-realization is hearing. And the sound vibration itself will change the heart if one allows it to come in the proper way. What else? Yes.
There's some nice verses in the beginning of the second canto about this process of hearing. And maybe you can, because I don't remember them so much, you can tell the right when the Shukadeva Goswami is congratulating King Parikshit for having asked about Krishna.
Hmm.
And Prabhupada has some really nice purports.
Kishore's got it. Go ahead. Which one you have? Oh, you're quoting from the Divinity and Divine Service. Oh, yes, this is a classic verse, so go ahead and enter it into the record.
Srinvatam Svakatha Krishna Punya Sravana Kirtana Hrudyantastho hi avadrani vidunoti suhrutsatam. So, by hearing about the activities of Krishna, Srinvatam Svakatha Krishna Punya Sravana Kirtana, and chanting his glories, all that is troublesome to the heart. Punya Sravana Kirtana vidunoti Punya Sravana Kirtana Hrudyantastho hi abhadrani vidunoti suhrutsatam. All that is troublesome to the heart is almost completely destroyed.
That's a different verse, but it has the same, similar meaning. This verse, Lord Sri Krishna, who is the Paramatma, the super soul in everyone's heart, and the benefactor of the truthful devotee, cleanses desire for material enjoyment from the heart of the devotee, who relishes his messages, which are themselves virtuous when properly heard and chanted. And the other one that you're drifting into, Nashta Prayeshu Badreshu, was that by regularly hearing the Bhagavatam, then all that is troublesome in the heart is destroyed practically to nil. And in this verse, vidunoti, a couple things that are very noteworthy. Such a powerful verse. It's quoted over and over again, but it's one for us to remember how to understand Lord Nityananda through this process. Srinvatam swa kata krishna. Kata krishna. It's kata about Krishna. That Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, Machita makata prana bhudayanta parasparam. Katayantashtya mam nityam tushanti chara manticha. What do devotees do? What's the activity of devotees? It's described in this verse. That their lives are dedicated to me. They spend their time talking about me. It's kata. What are other kinds of kata of the material world? What is it called?
Chakshus.
Huh?
Chakshus.
Chakshus?
No, of the material world?
Yes.
They have talk shows. And
talk shows. Yeah. Talk shows and the general category, it's like gramya kata. Means what you hear about town. It's, you know, when they're out hanging the laundry, you know, somebody's talking, did you hear? Such and such? I heard. You know, and they pass it on and it just gets passed along. All this kind of stuff. It's all from the material world. It's a different vibration altogether. This other vibration is coming from the spiritual world. Therefore, Srinvatam Swa Kata Krishna Punya Shravana Kirtana. You get punya just from hearing it. And in fact, Shukadev Goswami says, it doesn't matter where you're sitting. You can be in front of it, behind it, the one speaking it. Everybody gets some benefit from it. He said the speaker, the hearer, and everybody else in between gets benefit from hearing the Krishna Kata because it's so powerful. Punya Shravana Kirtana. That's where you get spiritual advancement from. Mystery solved. How do you advance in spiritual life? Punya Shravana Kirtana, from hearing. It comes from the vibration, because the vibration itself is Krishna, and it's non-different. Hearing about Nityananda is the same as associating with Lord Nityananda. Hearing about Narada Muni in the fifth chapter of the Srimad Bhagavata means to directly associate with him. There is no more direct method of associating with the Lord and his associates than hearing. So punya shravana kirtana hridyan taksto hi bhadrani vidhunoti suratsatam.
I have this verse from the second canto, first chapter, verse number 5. Tasmad Bharata Sarvatma Bhagavan Ishwaro Harihi Shrotavya Kirtitavyascha Smartavyaschetabhayam. O descendant of King Bharata, one who desires to be free from all miseries must hear about, glorify, and also remember the personality of Godhead, who is the Supersoul, the Controller, and the Savior of all, the Savior from all miseries.
Thank you. Nice one. I was going to mention in this verse, Vidu Noti Suritsatam. I heard something very nice about this verse, about what is a Vidu Noti. There's a machine called the Vidu Noti. I said this before, but every time I say it, it's kind of amazing, to me anyway. it's amazing I remember it. But there's a way in which when people are taking cotton from the field and they put it into this machine called the Vidu Noti. And a devotee I met in Govardhan this last year was describing exactly what it looks like and how it works. It's like a little shed. And in the shed, they have these cords, strings. You know what a Vidu Noti is?
Yeah, kind of.
Where did you see one?
In India, actually, a couple of times, you know, just on the street, people used to come just making the sound.
Doing, doing, doing?
Yeah.
Wow. Well, so it's true. I'm not making this up. Okay. It's good to have confirmation. There's a shed, and inside it there's these strings, and they pull them very taut. And then they throw the cotton in there, and then they vibrate the shed. So the strings make this movement. And what happens is there's this impurity in the cotton, and it falls out. You have to separate it in order to get the fluffy cotton. Otherwise it has all kinds of seeds and other impurities inside it, right? So the Vidu Noti is ring, 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 ring. And then by that, there's this micro vibration that's taking place within the cotton. And the heavy parts, they fall out. The impurities, they fall out, and they go through a screen in the bottom, and they're gone. And then after you make that vibration, then open the door, pure cotton. So same thing, Vidu Noti Suritsatam. It happens within the heart. If you make the vibration, it's going, 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 and the impurities are dropping off. And that's exactly what this verse says. Srinvatam sva kata Krishna. If you talk about Krishna, you hear about Krishna, the vibration itself, especially if you hear about it from pure devotees, then the vibration will especially purify the heart. And Krishna helps. He's there within the heart. He is the personality of Godhead. He's a person. It's a personal relationship. And he knows that you want to make advancement. He wants you to make advancement, but he gives us independence. He doesn't force us to. But if we have the desire, he'll help us from within the heart. That's what that verse says. So, Vidu Noti Suritsatam. And Surit means the best friend. There's different kinds of friends that you can have in the world. Some friends are friends when you pay them, and some friends, they'll come bail you out of jail in the middle of the night, even if you don't pay them. But Krishna is the best friend. He follows us wherever we go, within the heart, the super soul. And in the prayers of the personified Vedas, one of the Vedas personified says that if we act in such a way as to please the super soul, then we'll always be happy. We'll feel transcendental pleasure all the time. And so Krishna's right there all the time witnessing our activities. And if we act in such a way as to please him, then our life becomes sublime and happy. We're reading the glories of Lord Nityananda Balaram. Saravarga Ananta Bibu Vaikunthadi Dham Krishna Krishna Abhatera Tahani Vishram. You know when your phone goes off, you have to buy a Sri Shapanishad. It costs $5. That Vaikuntha region is all-pervading, infinite and supreme. It is the residence of Lord Krishna and his incarnations. Tahara upabhage Krishna loka khyati Dwarka Mathura Gokula Tri Vidhatva Stiti. In the highest region of that spiritual sky is the spiritual planet called Krishna Loka. It has three divisions, Dwarka, Mathura, and Gokula. And that brings to mind a song by Narottam Das Thakur If you look in your songbooks, you'll find a lot of songs about Lord Nityananda, reference to Lord Nityananda in Srila Narottam Das Thakur's songs. And if you look on page 84,